What's going on, ATL? How are you today? Man, it is always so awesome to be able to continue to be invited over here. Pastor Jamal today is at our Douglasville campus bringing the word, and I know that they're enjoying him. So you're stuck with me today. If you don't like me, I apologize, but here I am. But I believe that God has something that he wants to speak to each and every one of us today. We're starting this new series, Flip or Flop. As a matter of fact, throughout the next few weeks, we're going to be discussing three things that we can flip so we don't flop. Next week, we're going to be discussing the topic, I am stuck. The following week, we'll be talking about I am lonely. But today, and maybe you even said this, I am anxious. I'm anxious. Some of y'all just got anxious just right there. You just heard the word anxious. It's like, man, I'm a little anxious right now, actually. Can we pray over our time this morning? Father, we thank you, Lord, that your spirit is in this room. Lord, we didn't even have to invite you. God, you were already with us. I find it interesting. So often, God, we ask for more of you, but the fullness of who you are lives inside of us. So, Lord, we don't ask for more today of you, but we ask for less of us. Because the less that we are, the more that you are shown. So, Lord, I pray today that we would lessen ourselves. Lord, we would find ourselves and position ourselves to be able to hear your word, your truth today. Speak to us on an individual level. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Can we just give God praise one more time? Isn't he worthy? The definition of anxiety is this, and you can see it on the screens. It's a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Hello, does anybody else know what I'm talking about? Maybe you've experienced a little bit of anxiety. But how I'd like to start today is actually letting you know that sometimes, just sometimes, anxiety can actually be a healthy thing. For instance, every time I know I have the opportunity to preach, that whole week I have a little bit of anxiety, okay? Because I'm thinking about my message. I'm going through my mind about how I'm going to preach the word. And to be honest, there's a little anxiety to know that I'm speaking and saying the things that God wants me to speak and say. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? So there's a little bit of healthy anxiety there. There's a little bit of healthy anxiety whenever I'm in a very high place and there's potential for me to fall. There's a little bit of anxiety that if I fall, something bad can happen. So that anxiety kind of helps keep me in check. By the time I was 17 years old, I was in three car accidents by the time I was 17. All of them were when it was raining. So now every time I drive and it rains, what do you think I am? I'm a little bit anxious, okay? I think about my surroundings a little bit better. And you know what? That's not such a bad thing. Especially for those who are in the car with me, they might even appreciate that. So anxiety isn't always a bad thing. However, it can get out of control and it can actually become what we see today as an illness. When anxiety becomes an illness, it's defined differently. It's defined like this. Anxiety disorder is like this. It's a nervous disorder characterized by a state of excessive uneasiness and apprehension, typically with compulsive behavior or panic attacks. Did you know that anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the United States? It affects over 40 million adults in the U.S. alone. That means over 18% of our population every year deal with this illness. These disorders develop from complex set of risk factors, including genetics, brain chemistry, personality, and life events. In a recent study by the American Psychological Association, it shows a sharp increase in anxiety among people of every major age group. However, people in the age range of 20 to 37 years old rated the highest on the anxiety questionnaire. The major concerns for those between those ages were finances. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Finances, employment opportunities, and insecurities around having stable relationships. those three things: money and employment and relationships. I found that interesting that in this social media driven world that we are, I wonder why we're struggling with relationships. But our goal today is this: it's not to diagnose you. Believe me, I can't. Maybe Pastor Jamal could. I cannot. Okay. I can't diagnose you, or I'm not even here to discuss the psychiatric condition of this illness. But what I do want to do today is cast a vision of hope. Is that okay with everybody? I want to cast a vision of hope because freedom from anxiety is possible. Can you just say that with me? Freedom from anxiety is possible. See, so often those who struggle with these anxiety and these conditions, they just don't even see it as a possibility to get out. But I tell you today that freedom from anxiety is possible. Why? Because the Bible tells us something very in particular in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. It says this: cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. One verse gives us the solution to how we can deal with anxiety. But you see, anxiety, it's our attempt to control what we cannot until it controls us. Let me say that again. Anxiety is our attempt to control what we cannot control until it controls us. You see, it's a mirage that we are constantly trying to reach but can never seem to find. And the only way out is when we release our control to someone else. Amen? Did I say amen? Amen. We're here with me. Cast all your anxiety on him because, listen, he actually cares for you. Is there anybody in the room that believes that? We just sang worship songs. Do we believe that he cares for us? But also often we don't cast our care on him. Yet it's funny that our anxiety doesn't even care about us, yet we give it so much attention. Our anxiety didn't die for us. Our anxiety didn't save us. God loves you and is asking for your anxieties to be placed on him. You would think that would be a simple concept, but it's not, is it? There's more to it than that. There's a bigger picture. Have you ever experienced pillow talk? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Pillow talk. See, I'm not talking about pillow talk like with your spouse. I'm talking about pillow talk with like yourself. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Be sitting there at night, be like, man, I need to get all these things done. I got to remember to do this tomorrow. I hope I can get this done. I hope, oh my goodness, if I forget to do this, it's going to be over. I got to free. Oh, I got to get my phone. Let me get my phone out. Okay, I got to remember to do this thing. Oh my goodness, I forgot about that one thing. Oh my goodness, that one thing. How am I going to do all this? Oh, the kid has to be at this certain thing tomorrow. Oh my goodness, I have to see that one person. Oh, I don't like that person. They're probably thinking about me right now. I'm going to think right back at them. You have these conversations in your mind, like you're supposed to be sleeping. But we sit there and we have pillow talk with ourselves. Anxiety can drive us crazy. But God's word gives us some instruction on how to deal with our craziness. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. That's what we're going to be looking at today. It says, starting in verse 5, God opposes the proud. He shows favor to the humble. So humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up in due time. Verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you suffered for a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power and the glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So today what we're going to do is look at three things that can transform how you deal with anxiety. The first thing that we see is this point: be humble. Be humble. I don't know why this point keeps coming up in my messages. If you were with me 4 weeks ago or 5 weeks ago, whenever I was here last, that was one of my points too. So I said, hey, maybe God's got something to say. be humble. The verse says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up. You see, pride says, I'll figure this out on my own. I need to take care of this. Pride says, I don't need help. Pride says, I got this. Pride says, I don't need anybody else. Pride says, I don't want anybody else to know. Pride says, I don't know what they'd think of me if they found out. Can I say, do you really think that you're the only one facing what you're facing? No, seriously, ask yourself the question, do you really think that you are that special? That only you are going through the difficulties and challenges in your life that nobody else would be able to relate. You see, humility is not only about casting your cares on God, but on each other. Look at James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be what? Healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So often we want to cast our cares on God, but don't realize that the church is the body of God. He uses not only his head, but he uses his body to bring healing to who we are. Rick Bezette said it this way, if you confess your sins to God, he will forgive you. But if you confess your faults to someone else, you will be healed. You see, confession is more than just good for the soul. It is actually a catalyst for God's healing over your entire life. Going through it together was God's intention all along. You see, pride will always try to convince you to stay secluded and to try and handle it alone. But humility is the starting line to every good thing that God has to offer, including the peace that surpasses all understanding, including true healing that can only come from each other through Christ, through his body. I don't know if you had experienced this several days ago. There was a thunderstorm. Did anybody else hear it? Maybe you felt it. I was in my house. I was actually studying for this message, and the thunder just started rolling, and the lightning, and everything was happening, and the wind, and the house started shaking. It felt like it was just kind of one of those moments. And the reason it felt like that is because I have two dogs, and they were both going crazy, okay? Like, one of them specifically was running around. I don't know what he was trying to do. He was trying to, like, bark the storm away. Does anybody else's dog do that? They're just trying to bark the storm away. Like, he's running to every window as if his bark is going to diminish the storm around him. Both my dogs were scared. One of my dogs tried to bark the storm away. My other dog, however, he jolted toward me. And he got and he cuddled underneath my chair. And he was as still as you could ever imagine. And I'm sorry, I'm a preacher. I couldn't help it. I couldn't help but think that sometimes in our anxiety, in our frustrations, in our concerns, we're going away trying to bark away the storm by ourselves. We try and bark it away like our bark is going to somehow help it go away. But if we would just do what he says, if we would humble ourselves and come underneath his mighty hand, we could be at peace. We could be still and truly know that he is God. You are not alone. So stop running around barking at your storms alone. God, he's with you. His church, this church, is with you. So be humble and let him lift you up out of your muck and your mire. Amen. So be humble. Second thing we see in this text is believe that God loves you. No. Actually believe that God loves you. Verse 7 says to cast all your anxiety on him, but we sometimes forget because he cares for you. He actually loves you. Not just because we sing it in our songs, but we can actually feel and know his love. It's interesting, the word cast literally means to throw something away. So my question is, what are you throwing? Your anxiety. Where are you throwing it? To God. Why? Because he cares for you more than you could possibly imagine. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 27 says it this way. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? He says in verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in their barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then it asks this question, are you not much more valuable than they? Do you not know how much God loves you and cares for you? You see, we don't need to look any further than the cross to know how much he loves us, but we can't. As a matter of fact, consider how many times he's forgiven you of those sins that you just keep on doing. You want to talk about God's love? Consider how many times he's protected you from stress that you never saw. Because of his protection, because of his love. What would your life look like today if he never pulled you up out of the pit that you were in before you came to know him? How much does God love us? Can we even contain and know his love? I'll tell you this, though, that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me that he so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And if that's all he gave, it would be enough. Yet he gives us so much more. And in that love and in that grace that we feel on a continuous basis, or we have access to feeling on a continuous basis, why are we so anxious? I love in verse 27, it says, can any of you, by worrying, add a single day to your life? How many of y'all have tried? Have you ever felt, I love this, Pastor Jamal said this last night when he spoke this message. He said, have you ever felt better the morning after you stayed up worrying all night? Have you ever woke up and were just relaxed and, oh, thank you, Jesus. What a beautiful day. I'm so glad that I stayed up worrying all night last night. Man, I just feel so relieved. Do you feel like you've added to your life? Yet so often, that's exactly what we do. One man said it this way, my life has been full of terrible misfortunes, most of which has never happened. Anybody relate? Cast your cares, your hurts, your worries, your fear, your anxiety on him because he loves you and he wants to position you for freedom that's only found in Christ. The third thing we see in this text is beware of your enemy. It says in verse 8, be alert and of sober mind. The enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. It says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world, they are undergoing the same kind of suffering. You see, sin is disguised as a stress reliever, but it actually is a stress enhancer. Satan deceptively uses your weaknesses to offer fraudulent distraction from the world around you. It's like putting on virtual reality, VR goggles, and somehow we live in this manipulated world that everything's okay. And if I just stay focused outside of Christ, it's just gonna somehow work out. But too often we open up the goggles, we see what we don't wanna see, and what do? Put back on the goggles. Satan uses these tactics. He captivates our senses, yet he's destroying our souls at the same time. I find it interesting that even with the help of science, we see that the world, even the secular world, is seeing what causes stress on our minds. And it's so interesting how it aligns so perfectly with Scripture. According to a Duke University, what they called a peace of mind study, they researched factors that contributed to healthy emotions. Interestingly enough, those emotions, they directly oppose the same schemes that Satan uses against us. They concluded the following scenarios lead to healthy emotions. The first thing they came up with was this: the absence of suspicion and resentment. The absence of suspicion and resentment. Yet the enemy loves to stir up resentment inside of us, doesn't he? He loves to challenge us with, remember what they did to you? Oh, he loves doing that. What are they saying about you? Maybe even right now they're talking about you. He loves to stir up resentment inside of us. Yet the study revealed that holding a grudge was actually a major factor to unhappiness. This is a secular study. It's almost as if they're quoting scripture from Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, where it says, bear with one another, forgive one another. If any of you has grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Science and scripture, how much they line up more than people think it does. The second thing they came up with was not living in the past leads to peace of mind, not living in the past. I find that interesting because Satan seems to always remind you of your past, doesn't he? He always likes to bring up things. Remember what you did? Don't think that you'll ever recover from this. Don't think that you'll ever stop doing what you're doing. Has anybody heard that voice before? He loves bringing up the past. Yet the study shows us that unwholesome preoccupation with old failures leads to depression. Duh. But look at how science lines up with scripture. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. The Bible tells us, stop looking in the past and look toward me. It's scripture. The third thing the study came up with was not wasting time and energy fighting conditions you cannot change. Yet the devil always likes to bring up things you can't change. He always likes to point to you and say, what are you going to do about this? How are you going to handle this? How are you going to manage this? What if it doesn't work out? What are you going to do then? What if you don't have enough money? What if the bills doesn't come through or the rent? Some of those, the enemy loves stirring up these kind of feelings inside of us. But the study tells us to cooperate with life instead of trying to run away from it. This is science. Yet James in scripture tells us in chapter 1, verses 2 through 3, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That we can flip the script on what the enemy is telling us, and we can know that we can move forward and we can perceive in our faith what God is trying to do. The fourth thing that they show us is this, is force yourself to stay involved with the living world. This is a secular study. Force yourself to stay involved with the living world. Yet the king of all lives will tell you what? You can handle this alone. You can take care of this yourself. You don't need anybody else. He might even tell you, they don't need your drama. Don't talk to anybody else. Keep it to yourself. It's family business. But even this secular study says to resist the temptation to withdraw during periods of anxiety. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says it this way, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, not only science, but scripture is telling us to allow the church to help lift you up. The fifth thing that this study showed was refuse to indulge in self-pity when life hands you a raw deal. Yet it's interesting, the thief loves to steal your joy by helping you to focus on your pity. Life has been so unfair to you. If you only had a better hand, if you only had better opportunities, if you only had different parents, if you only had a different job, if only things were different. Have you ever heard that voice? The enemy loves to deceive us. Yet the study shows us that self-centered people scored the absolute lowest measuring happiness. Isn't that interesting? That the most narcissistic, self-centered people came up on this questionnaire to be the least happy. Which is interesting, that, and it's why hope, according to our main scripture, from 1 Peter tells us this. It says to be humble. Because under God's mighty hand, he will lift us up. The second thing we talked about today is believe that God loves you. And to cast out all our anxiety on him. To beware of your enemy by staying alert and resisting all of these evil schemes. You see, he uses what we see now as these scientific evidences and scriptural evidences that shows us what we can do to move away from anxiety. But this is what he says through this text. Be humble. Believe that God loves you and beware of your enemy. You see, the enemy will keep passing you lies. But what this text is telling us today, if you don't get anything else at all, get this. That when the enemy shows you something, throw that something onto the lap of Jesus. And can I tell you today that it's going to keep coming. The few things that we talked about today, we're going to go to the next point. Show those three things up there that we talked about. Be humble. Believe that God loves you. And beware of the enemy. Because I'll tell you, he will keep throwing stuff to you. And every time he throws something to you, I want to challenge us today to cast it on him. He's going to keep throwing you lies. Well, what are you going to do about this situation? How are you going to handle it? I'm going to cast it. Maybe you're experiencing, what about your children? What if they never come to know God again? I'm going to cast it on him. Your financial situation, it's such a mess. How are you ever going to? I'm going to cast it. The situation you're in, I don't know how I'm going to make it through. How are you going to make it through? I'm going to cast it. It's interesting that we kind of go into this motion that we just keep casting it. Every time he shows it, we throw it. He shows it, we throw it. He shows it, we throw it. It's almost like we can kind of get into this groove. We can almost even start dancing. It's called flossing on him. You gotta start flossing on him. He shows it, I throw it. He shows it, I throw it. Get in the habit of taking what the enemy tells you and throwing it at the feet of Jesus. He has not called you to handle it on your back, but he's called you to cast your care, cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Because he loves you. And he wants you to beware and not take on your back something that he's already paid for. I want us to get in the habit of telling Satan that every time you throw something my way, it's going his way. Our main scripture today concludes like this. It concludes by saying, 1 Peter chapter 5, 10 through 11, it says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever." You see, he'll make you lie down in green pastures. He'll lead you beside still waters. He will restore you himself. He will make you strong. He'll help you to stand firm and steadfast. He will fight for you and asks you only to be still and know who he is. Corrie ten Boom said it this way. He said, "So often we pray and then fret anxiously, waiting for God to hurry up and do something. All the while, God is waiting for us to calm down so he can do something through us." What could life look like if we were to just calm down? What would life look like if we would just breathe? It was late December in 2017 when I began waking up in the middle of the night, thinking very anxious thoughts. I was haunted by the unknown. I was overwhelmed by my feelings of the past and concerned about chronic headaches that I was having on almost a nightly basis. And As a matter of fact, they got so bad, I remember feeling a bump that it felt like a growth that was growing on the inside of my head. And my mother, a couple years ago, passed away from a brain aneurysm, and I didn't know any of the science or anything behind it. So I went into the doctor and just concerned, anxious, scared, etc., all those things. And I remember going into the doctor and thinking, man, he's going to tell me I got cancer or something. I didn't know. I didn't know what he was going to say. I was just so anxious. And the scans came back, and the doctor came back like laughing and chill. So I'm like, so I'm not dying? Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't know what, you know, like, because in my mind, there were so many other conclusions. And the doctor came in and he asked me this question. He's like, have you been stressed? I'm like, what? I thought I came to a medical doctor, not a psychiatrist. What you trying to say, brother? I'm like, what is going on? And he diagnosed me with something called shingles. And it, as a matter of fact, it was so bad I had shingles all in around my head at the time. And the reason that he asked me that is because the main cause, one of the main reasons for someone my age to get shingles is stress. And I remember listening to him talk and kind of being faced. Have you ever had a moment you're just faced with the reality like, okay, this is happening now. Like, I got to deal with this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, now I got to deal with this. And I remember having to humble myself. I had to open up to some people around me and have some discussions about things that were stressing me out, things that were causing me to be anxious. I had to come to know God's love in a deeper way that even as a pastor, sometimes we can lose. Can I just be honest with you? That we know God loves us, but it's so easy to just be connected with knowing deeply how true that is. And I had to beware because I knew that the enemy was using tactics against me that I had to learn to take and pass. I wasn't doing that. I was trying to handle it on my own. I was trying to do it my way. I was trying to figure it out, but it didn't work. And can I tell you today, you might not have shingles, and I hope you don't, because it was terrible. But you might have some evidence of the anxieties in your life. They may come out in anger. They might come out in some of the decisions you're making, maybe accessing sin in certain ways to try and comfort yourself. Maybe you've shut down. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you are on medication. Maybe you're dealing with this in other ways. But can I tell you, there's no better way than to cast your cares, to cast your anxieties on Him. The one who loves you more than you could ever imagine. I had to learn that firsthand. And I hope today that wherever you're at in your life journey, if you've dealt with anxiety, which many of us have, I want you to know that we were not created to be controlled by anxiety. We were created to be controlled by the Holy Spirit for faith and for peace. I'll close with this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. It's not on the screen, but many of us know it. It says, do not be anxious about anything. About anything? Because in every situation, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, you mean you can actually have joy? You can actually have peace in the midst of your circumstances? Because the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, even when it doesn't make sense, He will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes across this room today? Maybe you're here today and you have connected with something that was said. It's not just because of a fancy message that was put together for you, but I believe it's because the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. He's convicting you. He's wanting to make moves inside of you that maybe you weren't even ready to make yet, but today can be the day that you start a journey toward freedom from anxiety. If that's you today and you would maybe admit to that, confess to that, you would say, that's so me. I've carried so much on my back and I'm done. The enemy has lied to me so much. He brings up so much deception on me. I hear his questions. They haunt me throughout the night. But you're here today and you want to say, I want to begin this journey of truly casting my anxiety on the one who died to handle it. If that's you today and you've dealt with anxiety, maybe it's even been recently, and you just want prayer, you want somebody to pray with you, I'm just going to ask you, would you just lift your hand across this room? If that's you, I've dealt with anxiety. I need God's help. I don't want to go it alone. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can go and put those hands down. I just want to take a moment and pray over you. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your grace is so huge, God. Lord, your love is overwhelming. Lord, I pray right now in these moments for those that have dealt with anxiety, God, that they would hear your word, your truth. Lord, it was hand-delivered, wrapped up, and opened up in front of us today for each and every person individually. God, I pray that, Lord, we would know the tools, we would access the truth from your word. God, that we would humble ourselves and not try and go it alone, but access the help of other people, those around us. God, I pray that we would believe how much you love us and know your authentic love deep within our hearts. God, I pray, Lord, that we would beware of the lies and the schemes of the enemy, and that we would truly cast all of our cares on you. Lord, for every individual in this room, no matter what they're facing, no matter what they're going through, God, I pray, Lord, that your peace would descend on them in these moments. Lord, that you would remove fear. You would remove doubt. Lord, you would remove shame and allow people to feel your authentic love and compassion in their lives today. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you're here today and the Jesus that we keep talking about, maybe the God of the scriptures that we keep mentioning, you've never accepted him. Maybe you've never made that decision to, as we say, invite Christ into our hearts. You see, when we invite Christ into our heart, it's not like this action figure size Jesus that shows up in our heart like, oh, how cute. Like, that's not what it is. But it's his spirit that moves and makes home inside of us. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, once more, can we just, if you're in this room and you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you've never invited him to be a part of your life, or maybe you have, but it's been a long, long time and you've found yourself feeling distant from him. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand really quickly and then put it back down? We just want to be able to pray with you. Go ahead and raise that hand and put it down quickly. Thank you so much for that hand. Thank you so much for that hand. You can put it down. Let me just take a moment and guide you in a prayer. I don't want you to just pray the words I say, but inside of your heart, if you raise your hand today, I just want you to begin to say something like this to yourself. Would you say, Father, would you forgive me? Forgive me of my sin. Lord, I confess them to you. Before I go and talk to anybody else, I confess them to you. And Lord, right now, I know that as you hear my cry, as you hear my prayer, as I express my belief in you, Lord, you are faithful and just to forgive me of all my sin, that you cleanse me of all unrighteousness, every mistake that I made, every wrong turn that I took. Lord, you're making it right according to the Father. So Lord, thank you for saving me, for removing my sin and my shame and my doubt and my pain, and allowing me to focus on you today. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. If you said that prayer, I'm just so thankful that today you can recognize and know that Jesus is in your heart today. And if you prayed a prayer with me earlier and you allowed me to pray with you about your anxiety, can I tell you, just continue to cast your care on him because he cares for you. Amen. Amen. Can we just give God praise in this place today? Amen.